It's that time of the week again when a good friend of our show and the station, Milton Alamadi, publisher and editor-in-chief of the Black Star News, also found on blackstarnews.com, joins us Tuesday mornings at this time. Good morning, Milton.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, both of you. Thanks for having me again.
Hi. Good morning, Milton.
Great to have you with us. Well, Milton, let's start off here. Are we seeing a movement? Could this be a new civil rights movement against police brutality and criminality? Are young people seizing the day, it looks like, and saying enough is enough? I'm talking about these protests that are taking place all over the country, in Ferguson, here in New York, and many other cities since the grand jury in St. Louis did not return an indictment in the killing of Michael Brown by Darren Wilson and the choking and the choking of Eric Garner by Daniel Pantaleo. Or, as the commissioner of the NYPD said, will these protests eventually die down and peter out as they eventually did after earlier outrages, Amadou Diallo, Sean Bell, and many, many other cases of injustice, and many, many others killed? Certainly we look at Abner Louimu, who was sodomized, and of course, Trayvon Martin, killed by the self-styled keeper of the peace, Zimmerman. Is this Milton, is this different this time?
I think it's different this time. And I also got a chance to listen to the clip of the news segment that you played just before, you know, I got on. And I think it's different. I think, yes, it was so egregious what happened to Michael Brown. Unarmed, they had that encounter at the car. At that point, it's like it could have been his words against the police officer's words. But what happened, even though he ended up not being able to speak, it spoke so loudly for him that somebody could actually be chased and then shot and killed unarmed after many witnesses said he had turned to surrender. And then, of course, we have the video of Eric Garner.
Yeah.
And I think it's so disturbing to people that had been saying for many years that maybe some people in the black community sometimes maybe had outlandish claims against the police. Well, that was destroyed by this video, because then everybody got to see that you can have all the evidence that everybody can see. And yet, you know, a grand jury, you know, it gives a very bad name, actually, to a grand jury. It's completely the same as what used to happen in the South, in the old South, when, you know, the cases of murder would be, you know, quite, you know, clear cut, and you would have a trial jury that would be sitting there laughing in front of the clear evidence, and you knew that at the end of the day, the killers would be acquitted.
Right.
It seems like these grand juries are now serving that same purpose by preventing even a trial to occur. So people are outraged by that. But this time it's different.
Yeah.
It's different because of the people were repulsed by the militarism displayed by the Ferguson police. That's why people see that. Wait a minute. We're seeing the state act towards us as if we are the enemy. We're seeing the state act towards us as if this is an army that has been sent to a foreign country to engage in warfare. But this is the government that's supposed to protect us, and yet this is how the government is acting against us. I think that's why it's bringing different elements, not only young people, it's bringing middle-aged people, it's bringing older people, it's bringing members of the clergy to protest against this. There's a different combination this time.
Mm.
Not people that are only outraged towards the incident itself, but people outraged by the role that the state seems to be playing in presenting this militarism against the people that's supposed to protect, and the state also preventing a trial of officers that clearly engage in criminality. So I think it's very different this time.
It feels to me like when we had the heartbreak of the Trayvon Martin, the entire unfolding of the Trayvon Martin situation, from just the whole thing was just such a horrible traumatic situation, I think, for Black America especially. But once we kind of felt that pain, then it became a matter of what's next, right? And at that point, we didn't quite know what's next, but people have been organizing. People have been organizing since the, since the Zimmerman verdict.
Good point.
And making it known. And so when these verdicts are now coming down, the organizing has already prepared for it and been working towards it. And I think that you're 100% right about this deep connection between this state and how the lack of accountability on the part of the police, right? Just the militarization, the whole state apparatus, right, has become really exposed for people. And I have to say that I do think that Occupy had a really deep critique of the state, particularly in the no demands stance, and saying we're not going to make demands of the state because the state is already something that is lost. We're living under a facade of democracy. We actually have no power there. So I think that these things are starting to converge, and it's really fascinating.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the point that there are many organizations that have been standing essentially since the Trayvon Martin outbreak. And knowing that incidents such as the ones that have just occurred, these travesties are going to occur, and most likely, of course, will occur. But I think this time the reaction is always going to be different, and the impact hopefully will be different. Well, we're speaking some different language now.
Milton, it seems like you're going in and out.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Okay, yeah, right. Go ahead.
I was saying we're seeing some different reaction now. When you hear now the Attorney General of New York State saying, listen, I want the governor to give me immediate power to be able to actually prosecute officers that engage in killing of unarmed civilians. And I only need this power for so as long as the state does not enact a law that would address this issue. Mm-hmm. And once this law is enacted, the state legislator, then the law that should be granted to me immediately right now could then not be allowed to expire. And I think this is very different language. We've never heard this kind of stuff before. And this is what we really need, because right now, people are completely lost confidence in the system being able to function as a result primarily of the Eric Garner outrage. How can you have a video like that and not even allow the thing to go to trial? It's completely outrageous. And I hope that, in fact, both these instances, Ferguson, because of the misconduct and the mischief of the prosecution, where one of the assistant DAs actually instructed the grand jurors concerning a law that was no longer law, the 1979 Missouri law that allowed police to shoot after fleeing suspects, and that only several weeks later came back to say, oh, by the way, that law wasn't exactly correct.
Right.
That law was no longer law. It had been ruled unconstitutional in 1985 by the U.S. Supreme Court. And the assistant district attorney must have known that as a lawyer. So that was mischief to plant doubt and create the environment to allow members of the grand jury who had already disposed toward allowing Don Wilson to not be allowed to go to trial.
But
it gave them the way out. And that was complete mischief and misconduct. I think that gives the opportunity for the federal government to revisit that particular case again.
Well, I mean, the issue is, would things really be that different if one Darren Wilson, right, if one police officer actually faced consequences? And, you know, on occasion, police officers have faced consequences for these shootings. It's just that it's not the norm. So I'm not sure if that's the kind of systemic change that people are looking for right now. One of the things that's been fascinating about how this has happened is I was just watching a wonderful interview, actually, a really moving interview, let me put it that way, with Katie Couric. I don't usually watch Katie Couric, but I found this interview on Facebook, and it was with Eric Garner's two of his children, one's named Eric and the other's named Erica. And Eric is going to college this year. He's just started college. And they were talking about their family life, what it was, you know, how it was having him as their dad.
Right.
And, you know, the daughter described him as just a big teddy bear. She said, yeah, right. he might have been 350 pounds, but he was just a big teddy bear.
Right, right.
And the son talked about, you know, the silly stuff, arguing over the remote control, things
right.
like that, you know.
Right.
And
right.
their shared love of, you know, doing sporting kinds of activities
right.
and, you know, how supportive he was.
Right.
What you start to see emerge is this picture where it's like, these are not rich people, right? These are
right.
people who, where he's out there selling Lucy's, right?
right.
To put
right.
to food on his family's table, right?
Right. right.
And,
right.
And so these are really actually, you know, poor people where you have this intersection of race and poverty.
Right.
And you're, I think the world is right now seeing that it's not just simply about, how can we deal with these killer cops, right?
Right.
Because
right.
these racist killer cops are out there, yes. But
right.
we're also seeing people say, how can we really deal with this system? And I
right.
don't think you can put that genie back in the bottle, per se.
I agree.
With any
agree.
Law, with any prosecution at this point, people understand that our
I
system
agree.
Has to change.
I agree. I think you make a very... I make a very important point, and you're right. It's not just an issue of prosecuting Darren Wilson or prosecuting Daniel Pantaleo anymore. It's gone way beyond that. While, of course, the prosecution is still very important to very many people, including the victim's
family. The victim's
family,
absolutely.
But it's gone way beyond that. People want larger issues, systemic issues, structural issues to be addressed now. Because, yes, you're right. Many people are outraged. What are you doing? Killing somebody who allegedly was selling loose cigarettes
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even crack.
Better job
and he shouldn't have died for that either.
To be performing.
Yeah.
So I agree with you totally on that aspect. I think, and also the Katie Couric interview you mentioned, the other part is also that it presents these folks as human beings.
Yeah.
Yes, we might be of different ethnic background, but these are human beings that behave like human beings. And now, you know, many people in past instances have tried to portray this, oh, this is just an issue of black folk being a bit too outlandish. Oh, there go the black folk again. And they're now being repudiated and by the makeup of the protesters alone.
Mm,
that,
absolutely.
To me, I think is the most important thing. You have a multi-ethnic, multi-religious, multi-racial component in the people that are showing in this protest. And that is very good, a very good rejection to many people who sometimes try to play the race card and say, oh, this is just an issue of black people being outlandish toward the police department.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
well,
that is very important. And that's what makes this very, very different once again.
We're speaking with Milton Alamadi, publisher and editor of Black Star News, blackstarnews.com. Milton, we only have about another couple of minutes. Time quickly eludes us when we have these conversations. What other lessons can we draw from these killings, the killing of Michael
okay.
Brown and Eric Garner?
Okay, I think what lesson we can draw is that clearly there is something going on. If you have a situation, people have been saying for a long time that the police basically many times have been able to get away with murder because the system is built toward protecting them and not really prosecuting them. So when you have, for example, prosecutors who rely on the police department to prosecute regular crime on a daily basis, and then you have the same prosecutors supposedly to prosecute a police officer that engages in crime, including a murder like in the Eric Garner incident, it's not possible. It's almost like you're being told to, you know, prosecute your spouse.
Right.
It just won't happen. So this begs for immediate change. We should always have special prosecutors in cases where police kill our non-civilians, and that's why I think when the Attorney General of New York, Schneiderman, is saying that power should be granted to him immediately. The other second thing that I think should be looked into cases that have also been ruled as justifiable homicide, because I don't believe that. I believe, for example, when the USA Today comes out with a saying the FBI statistic from 2012 says, out of 420 shootings, 400 of them were ruled justifiable shootings, and 32% of that is black folks. I think 400 out of 420, 400 justifiable, I don't buy that. I think all of those cases need to be looked at once again, And for people that think like the Pulitzer is a very big thing and want it, I'm almost willing to bet that there's a prize waiting to be won just by looking at those cases.
Yeah, you're talking about some of the way in which these shootings have been reported.
Absolutely, and they're not even reported sometimes by media. Just police coming out and then prosecutors saying, "Oh, this was justified."
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. We're going to have to continue this conversation next week because I think that we can have a whole, you know, other 10 or minutes or even an hour just talking about the underreporting and the not reporting.
Absolutely.
And all of this new information that's coming out
that's
in the
right,
news.
That's
it's coming
right.
out in a lot of different sources. I think you mentioned USA Today, The Wall Street Journal.
Absolutely.
I even saw an article in Gawker on
yeah.
on this. And then, of course, there's Malcolm X Grassroots Movement's report, the Operation Ghetto Superstorm,
right.
Or I can't remember the exact title of it, but something to that effect if listeners want to Google it. Anyway, Milton, wow. Well, thank you so much once
again.
Thank
you for having me.
Yeah.
But before you leave us,
yeah.
though, tell us about guerrilla journalism. How can people find out about that? What is that?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Guerrilla journalism every Monday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We teach a basic workshop to teach people basic skills of reporting and writing because we believe the more people that can tell their stories, the more we have a chance of pushing back a little bit about these.
Oh, we're losing you. Okay, there we go. We're losing okay, Milton.
Corp Academy in Brooklyn,
yep.
One block away from Boys and Girls High School, 1060 Fulton Street, Brooklyn. Thank you so much.
Okay.